Get your Bibles, turn to John 1. We're going to be in 29 through 34 today as we walk through those verses. How many of you have ever had a job where you've been outranked? Yeah. So when I got my first job working in a restaurant, or actually my second job working in a restaurant, I was a restaurant general manager for a Pizza Hut in my hometown. And the guy that owned the Pizza Hut, his name was Glenn. He owned four Pizza Huts. Glenn was a 6'10", 6'11" guy from Kansas who went to college with Wilt Chamberlain and played basketball with Wilt. And so it was a joy to get to work for Glenn. Glenn lived in Las Vegas. He didn't come in, he didn't micromanage, he just cared about making sure that we made money, and he was an absolute joy for me to get to work for. Even though I answered to him, with him being in Vegas and not being around, it didn't feel that way. And then he decided that he was ready to get out of the pizza business. And so he sold our Pizza Huts, the four of them, right? He sold them to a huge corporation that was part of PepsiCo, and this franchise owner had over 700 Pizza Huts. And so I remember the first day where the four of us got to go and meet our regional general manager, because in corporations, that's what you had. You have general manager, then you had a regional general manager that had all these restaurants. So the four of us, who were used to working with Glenn, walked into this conference room in a hotel, and there was a big whiteboard in the room. And on it were two circles. There was a large circle, and then inside the large circle was a smaller circle. And so we were looking at that board, and then our boss came in. He was about 5'5", so I knew I was in trouble, right? Walked in. He didn't introduce himself. I just remember that he pointed to the board and he told the four of us. He said, "This small circle, this is you. Everything in that small circle has to do with you. It's what you're responsible for." He goes, "This big circle," he goes, "that's me, and that's none of your business. And part of my job is to be the boss of those smaller circles." I knew right then that we weren't going to get along, right? It's no fun to be outranked. It can be challenging, right? It's just a very complicated thing, right? If you're married, you know this, right? Yeah, you know this, right? It can be complicated. My daughter is, she's a reader. She loves to read. And so she has been, I wouldn't say begging me, but she's been asking me to read a series of books written by this guy. His name's Pierce Brown, and he has written a book or a series of books, with the first book being Red Rising. Anybody? All right, I figured that's more a Saturday night book. Anyway, so it's a weird series. Right? It's set in a world that's beyond our imagination. It's set in a world where basically Mars is being inhabited because the Earth has imploded and all this stuff, right? It's a weird series. But the whole thing is built upon this idea that there's a society, right? There's a society, and the society is built on this caste system, right? Based upon a color. Right, so if you are a white, you're at the top of the food chain, or a gold, and so forth, all the way down to the reds. And the reds are the most subservient, the most slave-like people in this new reality on Mars. And in it, the reds have this saying, right? They teach them from birth this saying as the lowest member of the society: obedience is everything. Obedience is everything. Listen, we live in a world today, and you know this as well as I do, that getting people to respond to someone who has more authority in obedience is becoming more and more challenging all the time, right? I walked into the bedroom today where my five-year-old was at, right? My five-year-old, my grandson, five-year-old, right? And I went in to tell him I love him and that I'll see him later at church, right? And I am his hero. If he is asking children, who's his favorite person, he always says pop, pop, right? I'm the guy. So I walk to the hall and his mom's in his bedroom and she sort of gives me this look and I'm like, I wonder what's going on in there, right? And I walk in and he turns and he looks at me and I'm like, okay, he's gonna be really glad to see me. And so I walk in and I'm like, hey buddy, did you get a cinnamon roll? And he turns his head away from me really fast. And I'm like, what's going on? And I walk up to him and I'm like, hey, I said, I'm getting ready to go. I'll see you at church. And he looks at me and he says, just go away. I want to hear the TV. And all I heard was his mom in the background laugh and say, see, you get to be treated like the rest of us today, right? But watching him be taught by his mom the idea I've heard her say on more than one occasion, she said to him, Owen, I'm the boss. You do what I say. And you can imagine a five-year-old's response to that, right? It's a complicated process. When you strip away everything from Christianity and you boil it down to this concept or to one concept, it is an impossibility to break Christianity down and not inevitably conclude that Christianity is ultimately about obedience. Obedience to what we talked about last week, this God, right? John chapter 1, right? Verse 1, right? In the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God, right? He was there in the beginning, before the beginning began, that he had that authority. And then the Bible says that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? At the end of the day, when it comes to our salvation, your salvation and mine, what we know is this, that obedience is everything. We have, listen, if you're in here in DeLand, Bunnell, online, and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Listen, we have everything we have because Jesus was obedient to God's will. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everything. And for us to have everything that God wants for us, listen, it's going to boil down to a really simple concept that many of us struggle with, and that is obedience. Obedience is everything. So I'm asking you to stand. We're just going to read five verses here, six verses in John 1. It said, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I met, he said, when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave us this testimony, or he bore witness to this. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. John says, I have seen and I have testified or bore witness that this is the Son of God. You can be seated. Obedience. Jesus said this in John 14. Read it with me. In Bunnell, DeLand, online, here in Ormond, read it with me. If you love me, you will. Listen, it's going to boil down to that. If you love Jesus, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Right? It's pretty simple. Obedience is everything. Not opinion, right? Obedience is everything, which is why one of the greatest gifts that God has given you and God has given me is the ability to choose. Why is obedience so paramount, right, to loving someone? Because in a choice, you tell that person whether you love them or not. Yes or no? Makes it clear, right, that those things matter. So what is it that scripture wants us to be obedient to. Here's the first thing. Behold, right? Behold. John said, look, or behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That word behold is the Greek word for seeing, right? But there's a lot more to it than just seeing. It's being able to see and perceive what's not there. Some people say that it was used in the Greek world to describe the idea of surprise, right? The idea that there's more there than meets the eye. Listen, if you're married or you've been in a relationship or are currently in a relationship, you all know this, that there is a look, right? There is a look that you can receive from your spouse, from your boyfriend, your girlfriend. There's a look you can get from them that nobody else will get, but you get the meaning behind the look. Yes or no? Right? And you know what happens when you miss the look. Right? Listen, the idea of perceiving more than what the eye beholds is exactly the meaning behind this word. The word is, there's more there than meets the eye. And John the Baptist said, behold, behold. There's more here than just that fellow walking down that dirt road. There's more here than just a carpenter's son from Nazareth. There's more here than what you see. And he describes it. He says, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And in a world with 8 billion plus people, do you know how many people haven't beheld Jesus in that way? How many of them in your family haven't beheld him in that way? Because unless you see beyond what you can see, you're never going to know Jesus the way he wants you to. Listen to what Jesus said about the eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, read it with me, your whole body will be full of, right? What does scripture say? In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He says, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness, right? There is a process, right? There's a process of obedience to God that requires this step first. And listen, those of you in Bunnell, DeLand, online here in Ormond that know Jesus, know and can remember, most of you can remember the moment that you beheld Jesus as the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. How many of you can remember that moment, right? What an unbelievable moment that in one moment you saw Jesus a certain way and in another moment you saw him completely different. You remember that, right? That's what's required if obedience is everything, right? Listen, his hometown missed it. Listen to Matthew 13. Jesus goes back to his hometown. When Jesus had finished the parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers Joseph, James, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Listen to this. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. They missed completely who he was. Listen, if you watch sports, listen, there are people that make it from these little dinky small towns. And every time there's a big game on, they do an expose on how miraculous it was that Billy Bob got out of town with 57 people and became this. And what does the town do? Most towns celebrate their local hero who makes it big. Yes? What did Jesus' hometown do? They did not see him. They didn't perceive him. They did not behold him as John proclaimed, behold, surprise, check this out. There's more here than meets the eye. Jesus said this in John 12. He cried out, when a man or a woman believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I mean, how many of you, how many of us online, Bunnell, DeLand, and Ormond, how many of you have ever struggled with trying to understand why God does what he does? right? If you just look at the world around you, if you look at your life, if you look at what you're dealing with, if you look at all of those things, you can come away perplexed, frustrated, angry, uncertain, because man, God's ways are so far above our ways, it is really hard to comprehend them. But when you can see God through the eyes of Jesus, you see him completely different. Yes or no? Because you say things like this, we say things like this. God is good. And then somebody says what? All the time. Why do we say that? We say that because through beholding Jesus, we see him differently. He is the way that we can see him. But there's the problem. You all sitting in here, sitting in Bunnell, sitting in DeLean, watching online, many of us have beheld Jesus and see him as he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Yes? The world doesn't perceive Jesus that way. Here's why. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4 says this, the God of this age, little g, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, everybody say blinded. He has blinded the minds of the unbeliever so they can't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Do you have people in your life that you want to see Jesus the right way? Yes or no? The Bible says this, they are blinded by the God of this age. So how do you get them to see? Let me remind you, if you're in Bunnell, if you're in DeLand, if you're online, or if you're here in Ormond, the Bible describes you as a believer and me as a believer as being the hands, the feet, the body of Jesus. True? Listen, one of the ways that you can be a help is to make sure that those who don't know Jesus, haven't beheld him the right way, see him correctly through you. Let me ask you a question. Is the Jesus that you present to your family, the Jesus that you present at work, the Jesus that you present when you're out with your friends, is that Jesus able to save those people? You see, the reality is in the words that we use and the attitudes and actions that we have, people need to see who? Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is that who you represent? Is that who you present? Do you present a Jesus who kept his mouth shut when he was being abused, when he suffered? Are you the kind of person that loves Jesus but can't keep their mouth shut, that you say everything that you feel like saying and you say, I'm just being honest? Are you the kind of person that represents Jesus in a way that understands that the only way to truly be Jesus is to die to yourself so that people can see your Savior? See, the reality is we live in a world that needs to behold Jesus. Amen? Right? We live in a world that needs to do that. I listen to you sing in the back. I listen to you cheer over certain lines and songs because Jesus, when beheld the right way, means everything to you. Yes? Amen? There are billions that don't know it. And they need to see Jesus in you. Man, make a commitment in 2025 to be the Jesus who died for them by the things that you say, the things that you do, the attitudes that you present to people. Make sure that they can see that gospel so that the light of that gospel can be seen by them. The work that the Holy Spirit does in a heart is eventually going to allow the person to see Jesus. Will they see him when they see you? Will they see him when they hear you, right? Listen to what scripture says in John 20. Jesus told them, because you have seen me, this is to Thomas who doubted. He said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you've touched the holes in my hands, right? Because you've seen me, you've believed. He says, blessed are those who have never seen me in person and yet have believed. How many of you are grateful that you know Jesus? Say amen. Let's pray that we can do our part this year to help others do that as well. Here's the second thing he says. He says that not only do we have to behold him, he says we need to bow and to be baptized. It is amazing. It is amazing to me how much rancor and discussion there is about baptism, right? It's just a really weird thing. John said, I baptize with water so that he would come. I baptized with water so he would come. Who is he? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that when he comes, he will baptize in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit, right? He won't just baptize with water, but he'll baptize in the Spirit. Listen, I don't know where you're at in Bunnell, DeLand, online, in Norman. I don't know if you were raised in a church or you were baptized or sprinkled as an infant. I don't know that your stance on Scripture. I just want you to hear what Scripture says in regarding baptism, and then you get to make your decision. But I don't want you to not make it because you're ignorant of what God teaches about it. Let's just read some verses. Acts 2:38, the very first time the gospel is presented, the very first question that the group of people ask in Jerusalem is this: how can we be rescued? How can we be saved? His response, say it with me. Repent and say it with me. Every one of you. If your question is, how do I get saved, then do this: repent. Change the way you think so that the direction of your life changes, and then get baptized. Do it in the name of Jesus, and here's what you get: forgiveness of your sins. Bunnell, DeLand, online, in here, anybody grateful that your sins have been forgiven? Say amen. Amen. He says this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the actual triune God lives in you. You. There are people who can't stand to be around you. They don't want to sit by you. They don't want to go to lunch with you. You're the last person they'd want to hang out with. And yet somehow God finds you a suitable home for him to dwell in. Anybody amazed by that? He says all of that comes when you repent and are baptized. Listen to Galatians 3:27. Paul says, for all of you, because how many of you are to be baptized? Every one of you. He says, for all of you who are baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Jesus. What a shame that if we've clothed ourselves with Jesus, that we act like we don't know Jesus, right? Make sure that we help people behold Jesus by wearing those clothes well. Listen to this scripture, Romans 6. He ends Romans 5 with a teaching that most churches don't want to teach. He says, where sin increases, grace increases all the more. Anybody in here that God's grace is greater than your sin? Yeah, right? We don't want to tell people that. Because people will go, let me see if I got this straight. If I sin, God's grace outpaces my sin. Let me think about this for a second. If I can sin and God's grace will replace it with something better and more, then why don't I just keep on sinning? Right? We don't want to teach that passage, right? Because somebody will take advantage of God's kindness. Anybody in here, Bunnell, DeLand, online, ever take advantage of God's kindness and intentionally sin, trusting that God's grace was greater than that? Yes or no? I know that's more of a Saturday night question, but I'm gonna trust you all, right? Right? Yeah. So he says, listen to what he says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? Because here's the principle. When you sin, God's grace is greater. As sin increases and goes one by one by one, grace multiplies 10 by 10 by 10. That's the truth of Scripture. He says, shall we just go on sinning then? He says, say it with me, by, okay, you're gonna have to have a good explanation for this. His response is this: we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Anybody online, DeLand, Bunnell, Orman, still struggle with sin after knowing Jesus? Seems to still be alive in you, yes or no? Right? He says we died to it. Or don't you know that all of you, because how many people are to get baptized? All of you. He said, don't you know that all of you who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? He says, we were therefore buried with him. Why do we die? Because the wages of sin is death. He says, you, therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death. Because why? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Why? He says, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, read it with me, we too may live a new life. Not a life that is free from the struggle of sin, but a life that's free from the penalty of sin. Who's grateful for that? Right? We're afraid to tell people that because somebody might take advantage of it. Get over yourself. That's what children do. Children take advantage of kindness. Our hope is that they will mature, yes? Our hope is that they will grow up. We can't keep running off young Christians because they tend to want to take advantage of God's grace. He's a big God. He's got a big hand. He knows how to discipline his children, right? We've got to learn to trust the process, but he says we die to it. Listen to Colossians 2. Paul says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. He said, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. He says, in Christ, you were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Circumcision was an act, right? Where physically a part of the human anatomy was discarded, right? To allow that person to be a part of the covenant of God, to be a part of the family of God. He says, you were circumcised. And what you put off wasn't a physical piece of flesh, but you put off your sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. How did Jesus remove your sinful nature? Read it with me. Having been buried with him in baptism, and then you were raised through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Right? You were dead in your sins and the circumcision of your sinful nature. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us. How many? All. And when did that happen? When you were baptized. It is amazing to me that the first act of faith after putting your faith in Jesus should be the act of surrendering to baptism, and how many people fight it. Right? It's amazing to me. And yet, Scripture is so obvious. But listen to 1 Peter, my favorite passage on baptism in all Scripture. It says, for Christ died for our sins, how many times? And for how many? Man, somebody just say thank you, right? The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death. Jesus was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. That's a fun passage to teach. We don't have time for it, but focus on the ark. How many of you been able to land a line? Orman, how many of you remember the ark that Noah built, right? Why did Noah build the ark? Flood was coming. God said, build an ark because it's going to flood. So the ark was designed to save them, but the water that God would send was to do what? It's to kill everybody and save them, right? He says, in that ark, only a few people, eight, Noah, his wife, three sons and their wives, they were saved through water, right? They got into a boat, and then when the rain came and the flooding happened, they were saved by water. Because what did water kill? Water killed all the sin around them. Because if you read Scripture, the Bible said that every person that lived at that time, every intent of every thought was evil all the time. Remember that? So what did the water kill? The water killed, say, sin. The water killed the sin. And yet, those people who survived the water had to be inside the what? They had to be inside the ark. Listen to what Scripture says. He says, and this water symbolizes what? Baptism. And that baptism says, does what? Saves you also. Not because it removes dirt from your body, but it's a pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're in DeLand, Bunnell, online, in Norman, and you've never been baptized, the Bible is clear that if you put your faith in Jesus, you need to surrender to baptism. Because something happens in baptism that no other place in your faith walk will ever replace. There is a way for you to be harbored in the ark, in Jesus, through your faith, and then to be baptized into water, which removes the sin and allows you to be the habitation of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you don't know the power of baptism, man, John says, behold him. See more than there is on the surface. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and then be baptized. Stop trying to convince yourself that something that somebody else did for you is sufficient. Stop trying to convince yourself that something that you may have done when you were so little you don't even remember why you did it, or remember specifically you did it for some other reason, and let yourself surrender to baptism. Listen, it is an amazing moment. And then the last thing he says is this, bear witness. Bear witness. Listen, the kingdom of God has to start within. Amen? You, all of us, right, at some level who are part of the kingdom of heaven are part of the kingdom because we saw Jesus differently. And in that, we confessed our faith to him and we surrendered to him in baptism. You and I, Benel, DeLand, Online, all of us should continue to grow in our maturity internally. If you're not internally growing in the kingdom, man, you're stuck. You're stuck. We have to constantly look at ourselves and be sort of ability to be introspective and go, man, I need to work on that. I need to continue to grow. I need to continue to do that. But let's not kid ourselves. The reason that God places his Holy Spirit in you is so that you will have a testimony to share with people around you. Our world has not changed. Our nation has not changed since Donald Trump was voted in as president, because he will not rescue people. He doesn't have the ability. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can change you. Only Jesus has what you need. And those of you in DeLand and Benel and online and in Orman, we have one job. As we mature and grow, we are to what? Bear witness. Bear witness. The word witness is a great word in the Greek. It's the Greek word martus. It's the word we get the word martyr from. You know what a martyr is? Somebody who's willing to die for a cause. Do you know what a witness does? A witness is willing to die to themselves for a greater cause. You see, a witness or a martyr isn't someone who's willing to pick a fight with somebody who's not on your side. A martyr is somebody who recognizes that if I want to be a disciple, I have to deny myself. Then I can take up my cross and I can follow him. You see, the biggest challenge for those of us in here who know Jesus, in DeLand and Benel and online, is that we have to learn that to bear witness, we have to die to ourselves, so that the stories we tell, the things we repeat, aren't about me, but they're about him. They're about the one who died for me. Listen to the writing of Peter, 1 Peter 3, right? This is the verse that summarizes all of this, right? He says, but in your hearts, here first, the kingdom has to start here, right? There are those of you in the room right now or in DeLand or Benel and online where you feel that heaviness because you don't know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is convicting and laying heavy on you. He says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, not just in church, not just in singing, but in your heart, set him aside as Lord. And everybody in DeLand, Benel, online, Orman, say this word. Always. Not sometimes. Why? Because a witness is always ready to tell the story. Always be prepared to do what? To argue and fight until you beat that non-believer down. No. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, what? To give the reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do this with a gentle spirit and with respect. We are to bear witness. We're to be a martyr. We're to be someone who's willing to die to themselves to tell the story of Jesus. Why do churches close? They close for many reasons, but one of the primary reasons that churches close is because people forget to bear witness to what Jesus does. As a pastor at Tomoka Christian Church, I just want to take a minute and say thank you. Thank you for not being the kind of people that failed to bear witness. We did a study last year of how many, where do our visitors come? What service do they attend? And here's what we found out. 94% of our visitors come to either this service or the 11:30 service. And you want to know why they do? Because you invite them. You bear witness to what Jesus has done for you. Not only do we behold Jesus, not only are we to be baptized, but we're to bear witness. So we get to close tonight, or today, sorry. Feels dark in here, right? We get to close to do something that we used to do all the time. I went to church at 17 in a really small church, about 75, 80 people. And so when I showed up as a 17-year-old long-haired hippie with a foul mouth and a bad attitude, everybody knew in that small church I wasn't a Christian. And I don't know if you know what it's like to go to church in a small country church of Christ back in the 1980s. But when it came time for the invitation hymn, they sang the invitation hymn if they thought there was anybody in there that didn't know Jesus. And they would sing the last verse 416 times, right? I sat and listened to I Have Decided to Follow Jesus more times than I can tell you. And the reason that they did it at Latona Church of Christ, because everybody in the room knew there was one fool in there that didn't know Jesus, me. And so I sat and I sat and I gritted my teeth and I hated every second of it. And I did that for a year. For a year, I endured. I have decided to follow Jesus. I got so angry over the course of that year. And then one day I went to church camp with fifth and sixth graders. And everybody there who was an adult knew that the one adult in the room that wasn't a Christian was me. And it came time for invitation hymn. And guess what song they sang? They sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. And they sang it. And they sang it. And they sang it. And I went forward. Yeah. August the 13th, 1981, I finally surrendered to Jesus, beheld him for the first time. We're going to close with an altar call today. In DeLand, we're going to do it, and Aaron will lead it. In Bunnell, we're going to do it, and Kyle will lead it. We're going to do it online with Pastor John, and we're going to do it here. And all that means is this, that if the Spirit has so moved you, listen, today's the day. It's time to behold Jesus as the Lamb of God that'll take away the sins that you've committed, past, present, and future. So we're going to just ask you to do one thing. We're going to ask you to stand, and if you need to come up front. We're going to ask the people that have been asked to come up front to be up front now, if you want to come on up. And there will be people up here that will walk with you, talk with you, share with you, pray with you. If you're a believer here in Norman, and you already know Jesus, but you want to be prayed for, to be encouraged, we'd ask you to go to Guidance Point out in the hallway. But listen, our desire is pretty clear. It's all over our mission statement. We're only here for one reason. We want to make it hard for people to go to hell from this generation. And there's only one way to do it. It's not to go to Tomoka Christian Church. It's not to go to Tomoka Christian Church at 9:30. It's not to go to Tomoka Christian Church in DeLand or Bunnell or watch online. It's to know Jesus. And the Bible says the only way to know Jesus is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you'll be saved. Amen? So why don't you stand? I'm going to pray. And if you need to make that decision, would you do so? Father, we're grateful beyond measure for Jesus. Obedience is everything. It's everything. Everything that you offer us through your Son is because he chose to die to himself and do the will of his Father in heaven. God, I have no idea the work that you're doing. I just remember in a room full of people, you did that work in me. So God, I'm certain there are people, whether they're in DeLand or Bunnell online or right here in Ormond, where your Holy Spirit is at work. I pray that you'd help them to do as you told Joshua, be strong and very courageous and make that decision today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.